Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the official podcast of CubbiesCrib.com. Here are your hosts, Jake Meisner, Taylor Mathis, and Justin Curran.
Good evening, everybody. Jake Meisner here along with Taylor and Justin for the first episode of the Cubby's Crib podcast back after a multi-year hiatus. And apparently the baseball gods are smiling upon us because all kinds of breaking Cubs news. So Justin and Taylor, welcome. And if you guys are good, we'll dive right into this signing. First off, the Chicago Cubs agreeing to a two-year deal with left-hander Drew Smyly. Any initial thoughts? We'll start with you, Justin, on Smyly coming to the north side.
4.88 ERA, just ERA plus of 92, FIP of 4.49. It's not usually good. He is only 27, but it's not good to see that much of an increase in numbers over that short of time. But hey, there's, I mean, if he can be a, what, 4 ERA pitcher right around there, that could be big. He could be a nice fifth starter slash swing man for the Cubs.
Yeah, I agree. Taylor, any thoughts on Smyly? It kind of came out of left field. I mean, I don't think I've heard one time that he was coming here.
Right, yeah. No, just looking now, well, he obviously had a Tommy John surgery, so he's going to be out most of 2018. So I feel like it's going to be a little hard for the Cubs to gauge where he's going to be at in terms of pitching.
We haven't found out so. How – yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Justin.
We still haven't found out how much his contract was for, but I'm guessing it's nowhere over $5 million per year.
Right.
So it's probably a low-risk, high-reward type of deal.
Yeah, and I think that it's a smart move. You can never have too much pitching. I mean, you see that year after year with pretty much every team. But I think it's also important to note, because he's out, he is a depth piece right now. And I don't think it means anything in terms of the Cubs pursuing other starters, especially guys like Alex Cobb.
Yeah, I'd like to see them go after Cobb still. I don't know how much I trust John Lester moving forward. I still think the Cubs need an ace. And I don't know if John Lester is that ace this year, next year, and the year after that.
Yeah.
I
totally agree with you. I feel like he's getting older. His stuff's not getting as good. I don't really know if he's still elite ace quality.
Rosenthal just tweeted out that the deal is 2 years, $10 million, plus $7 million in performance bonuses. So 14 seconds ago. So, I mean, right around what I thought. He's getting paid $5 million to sit on the couch this year and, you know, potentially $12 million next year. Not bad. Not bad. It's not going to blow you out of the water.
I mean, I think I
can't
get
you.
Yeah. And I think another important thing to note here is Smyly did pitch with Tampa Bay when Madden and Hickey were there. So you know how Joe loves – his guys. He loves knowing what he's going to get out of them. You saw that with Hickey coming here, first of all. And now, obviously, we hear a Cobb all the time. Smyly, another name, went over, pitched half a season with Tampa a couple years ago back in 2014, down the stretch. Made seven starts, pitched to a 1.70 earned run average and a whip below one. So he pitched really well for Joe. It's promising, hopefully reuniting him. Obviously, I'm not asking for a sub-2 ERA, but if you can get anything between 3, 3.5, I mean, that's basically like a mid-season trade acquisition. If he comes back mid-season, that's a guy that's going to come up and give your guys a blow and hopefully help you down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, high side, is he a four starter? He's not blowing you out of the water with anything, really.
No, definitely not. He's not here to be an ace. He's here to provide depth, shore up the back end of the rotation. And another bit of news that broke right as we were going on the air, literally no time to prep as far as talking it out, digging deeper into it. Left-hander and Cubs swingman Mike Montgomery is reportedly unhappy with his role in Chicago and is either looking for the opportunity to earn a spot in the rotation or go somewhere where he can. Ken Rosenthal tweeting out about half an hour ago that he has communicated the desire to start to the Cubs, but he did not tell them that he had to go elsewhere if that opportunity is not available. So he didn't issue an ultimatum, but clearly he feels like he's done enough that with all this talk of the Cubs needing another starter, he feels like he has earned a shot at that. Taylor, any thoughts on Montgomery wanting a shot at the rotation?
I mean, I understand his frustration. I feel like especially with his role for the Cubs the past couple seasons, it's kind of been all over the place. Reliever, starter. I mean, I think as a pitcher, you want to know where you stand and how you're going to help your team, where you're going to, if you're actually going to stick in a certain role. But I also feel like for the Cubs, he's not really the starter that we need or the man that's going to be that part of the rotation. I feel like the Cubs could do better, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, Justin, any follow-up thoughts on that?
I mean, besides the curveball he pitched last out of the 2016 World Series, I feel like Mike Montgomery's been overhyped. He's not a starter in my mind.
Agreed.
He's a guy that comes out of the pen. He's not even that reliable, though.
No.
It'd be different if he was just locked down in the pen and he's making the most out of his opportunities. But he's got a high walk rate, 0.8 walks per nine. He's got not exactly a high strikeout rate, 6.9 strikeouts per nine. If he thinks he's a starter, I mean, I get it that he's got to have confidence in himself, but I don't see where he has this much confidence if he's putting his foot down like that. I mean, which teams out there are clamoring for
begging
Mike
to
Montgomery
have him
to be? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get where it feels like he has the power to throw out kind of almost an ultimatum.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's not like the Cubs are going to get anything significant. If it came down to it and they had to trade Mike Montgomery, you're going to get a mid- to low-level prospect who's probably never going to make an impact in Chicago. You're not trading Alex Cobb. You're not trading, you know, Alex Colome. And like you said, Montgomery's strikeout-to-walk ratio is a huge concern to me personally. He seems able to work around it. He only had an ERA above 4 1 month. Last season, July, he really struggled. He actually made 3 starts, 3 relief appearances, an ERA north of 7, and a whip above 1.5. So he was striking out almost 9 batters a game, but it didn't really matter because he was also walking people. But I don't see him as a starter. I just, you know, I would rather take a 1-year flyer on somebody like Chris Tillman than hand the last rotation spot to Montgomery.
I didn't think Montgomery was going to get the last rotation spot anyway.
Me either, ever.
I mean, unless he's the sixth starter in a perfect world. And, I mean, who wants him? I mean, he's not an awful pitcher. But who's going to give up if you have a decent farm system? If you have an awful farm system, a top 10 prospect not asking that much, but you can't go to a team contending like the Yankees and ask for a top 10 prospect. No chance you're going to get that for Montgomery.
Yeah, No, I agree. Matt Clapp on Twitter at the Blog Finds, one of my favorite accounts to follow. He did raise a fair point, you know, that he doubts anything's going to happen with Monty, but he could make sense in a big package. Like if the Cubs decided they're going to go for it, they're going to go after Chris Archer. He's cost controlled through 2021. And for a team that isn't in the hunt for a fourth straight LCS, a third straight division title, he could make sense as a starter. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm saying that I don't want to have him try and prove himself on a team that has World Series aspirations.
I couldn't agree more. What do you think, Taylor?
Yeah, that's a solid point. I agree.
So I think we'll see. I definitely trust Joe to work through this. I mean, you saw him work through some stuff with Montero last offseason. Obviously, that didn't quite smooth itself out. But I think I would trust Joe more than any manager in baseball to have this tough conversation. You know, it's going to come down if the Cubs have an opportunity to make a strong push for a quality arm. Montgomery's going to be the odd man out. I don't understand how he doesn't understand that.
This whole thing reminds me of Tommy La Stella 2016 in the summer when he refused to go to Iowa and he was in New Jersey for about 2 weeks. This reminds me of that, where you don't have enough leverage here to be making these kinds of moves. If you want to get out of town, that's fine, but, I mean, expect to start on a team that's winning 65 games next year.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the Miami Marlins, that would be a great spot. They might win 65 games if they're lucky.
Yeah.
But you know, on the starting rotation, we'll move on past Montgomery. I think it's too soon to make a big deal out of it. You know, this just broke. Supposedly, he didn't give the Cubs an ultimatum. But let's just go with our general consensus. He is not the fifth starter. The Cubs went out and picked up Tyler Chatwood last week, 3 years, just under $40 million. Taylor, what were your thoughts when you heard the Cubs went after Chatwood?
So I actually asked this question and like a live that I did on my Instagram kind of to ask people what they would rate this grade-wise. In my opinion, I give it like, I don't know about you guys, I mean – I think, obviously, you can't look too much at his pitching at Coors for obvious reasons, but his road ERA has really been great, and I'm sure that's what the Cubs, you know, have obviously looked at the most. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's also just something that you're going to have to see how it plays out, and we'll see how he does when he's pitching at Wrigley.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. What about you?
I think I'd give it a little more of a B+. I like his road ERA, and it's really tough to pitch in Coors Field. And he's still young. What I liked the most about it was he's only 27, and we get some controllable starters. I know Cubs fans don't like to look at the White Sox so much, but if you look at the White Sox, the reason why they got the overhauls on their trades that they did is because they had Adam Eaton, Chris Sale, and Jose Quintana. It's these huge, like, 5-year contracts, but it was only like $20 million. So Chatwood was what, a 2-year deal, or is he a 3-year deal? I think it was a three-year deal.
He's a three-year deal. Yeah.
So even if Chatwood isn't all he's cracked up to be, It's kind of a low risk just because of the third year. And you could still ship him off to a team if he's not working for you at the end of this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's important to understand what they brought Chatwood in to do. Basically, Chatwood needs to replace John Lackey. I mean, they're not asking him to be Jake Arrieta. They're asking him to be John Lackey. And I love Lack. He gave a lot, obviously, for the World Series team and the year after, but – you know, matching what he did last year isn't exactly a tall task.
No, I don't agree with you. I don't like him very much. I don't know. Like, I don't mind him going. That's how I would put it.
Yeah, John Lackey. Every time he was on the mound, he was just destined to give up five runs in the first.
Well, at least as Cubs fans, we will always have the memory of John Lackey on the mound in the division series in 15 for the Cardinals when the Cubs shellacked him. That is my favorite John Lackey memory.
Well, what about the haircut?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
yeah.
We won't even get into it.
That's hands down the best John Lackey memory. Come on,
he's definitely good for some one-liners. Not here for I'll give you that. That was pretty solid.
All right, thanks.
Outside of Tyler Chatwood, the Cubs obviously Smiley today. They also made it official with Brandon Morrow on a 2-year deal. You know, before we went on the air, you two were kind of going back and forth on this, on whether or not you trust him to close out games. I mean, last year we had Wade Davis. Wade was near perfect. In the postseason, he did everything he could to get the Cubs where they needed to be. He left it all on the field. You know, a class act, gritty, old-school guy. We'll start with you, Justin, on how you feel about Morrow as a potential closer in 2018.
I love the signing. He could be a closer, but he doesn't have to be. He could also be the setup guy. And keep in mind, he was throwing absolute gas in the World Series. He was cranking it up to 99, 100, 101 on a consistent basis. And that's the way relief pitching is headed towards in the future. He is 32 years old, but a nice 2-year deal. I felt like $11 million a year, 10 to 11 a year, wasn't even that much. I felt like the Cubs, if I had to give this grade a deal, or this deal a grade, it's an A for me.
What about you, Taylor?
I mean, I would agree. I think it's an A, but I just don't know how much you can rely on him as a closer, in my opinion, because like you said, I mean, Wade Davis was near perfect, and then you go back closer the year before we had Chapman. I personally just don't think he's a Wade Davis or a Chapman, but that's just my opinion on things. I think ideally, I mean, trying to add Morrow and, you know, re-signing Davis would obviously give the bullpen way more versatility, but obviously that might not be an option.
I get that everyone loved Wade Davis last year, but I don't know if it was just me, but he didn't really feel dominant. Chapman at his best was dominant. Wade Davis, he would give up like two or three walks an inning, it seems, and then he would get out of it. He didn't have electric stuff. His numbers were down year over end. The numbers looked great for Wade Davis, but the eye test on him, I wasn't a big proponent of him coming back for the Cubs. He's gotten up there in age. There's no stat to prove dominance, but I just didn't feel like Wade Davis was that dominant.
I mean, okay. Well, I get what you're saying, but in my opinion, like, you got to think, especially in the era that we're in with the Cubs, most fans are pretty much banking on the fact that we at least get into the playoffs, and I mean, hopefully make it to the NLCS. And if we're comparing who we're going to be up against, which, you know, this past season was the Dodgers, could likely be them again, is Morrow going to match up to Kentley Jansen? That's like what I think of, and I personally don't think so in a closing situation.
I mean, but Kenley Jansen is, what, a top five closer in the game of baseball? I don't think it's fair.
I mean, he's being placed on, I would say the Cubs are a top team. I feel like you need a top closer, especially in playoff situations.
He could definitely be a top closer, though. He still has that upside potential. Did you really feel like, I get that I'm probably in the minority here, but did you feel like Wade Davis was a top five closer last year? Because I didn't.
I mean, I would have to say yes.
Yeah, I would definitely have to say yes. And I think the biggest factor in here that we haven't talked about yet is the Cubs got Wade Davis for nothing except Jorge Soler. And I think that is a huge factor to take into consideration. Yeah. We gave up nothing and got a top five closer who blew one save, regardless of whether he tight-roped his way in and out of danger. He only blew one save and came up huge in the postseason, and he cost us next to nothing.
I get that he cost you next to nothing, but what's Wade Davis going to go for this offseason? He's getting at least 16 average.
Yeah, MLB trade rumors has him pegged at 4-15.
Okay. I mean, he is 32, but I just think velocity numbers went down. Yeah, go ahead.
Morrow's 33.
Yeah, I get it, but I don't know. Maybe, Wade Davis has a few more innings pitched because, Morrow, up until that point, he was a failed starter, correct?
Yeah.
Similar to Wade Davis. And I feel like he's got a little bit more left in the tank. And velocity is huge, especially going forward and right now. And if your closer is only throwing 94, that's just not enough for me.
Right. So if you're going into spring training. So fast forward 2 months, pitchers and catchers are reporting, you're getting ready for the season. You have to pick. Say the Cubs don't add an impact closer past Morrow. Would you rather have him close out games for you, or would you give Carl Edwards his chance?
I'm sticking with Morrow. Yeah, I don't trust Edwards.
I agree with that for sure.
Edwards.
Yeah.
He's so bad in clutch situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just at the end of the year, I think he left such a bad taste in everyone's mouth that nobody even wants to contemplate him getting the ball in the ninth now.
I think he still has a lot of developing left to do as a potential closer.
Yeah. Do the Cubs send him down to AAA at the start of the year? Because what's the point of having him in that fireman closer type role if he still hasn't truly adjusted to major league play? Do you send him down to AAA, be the everyday closer, get his experience there? Or do you have him kind of in this limbo?
No, he is absolutely going to open the 2018 season in a key role in the Cubs bullpen. As bad as he was in the postseason, and I know that that's what looms in everyone's mind, he had a sub-3 ERA, he pitched in 73 games, he struck out almost 13 batters per nine. He was really good last year. But you got to take into account, as small and lanky as he is, he more than doubled his work year over year in terms of innings. It's going to catch up to you. I think he is going to be a very good reliever next year, and I think that people are hugely underrating him.
Do you think he'll just rebound just like that, though? Don't you think there will be
Absolutely.
A little bit of a mental hurdle just to go over? I mean, he could not find the strike zone last postseason.
Yeah, honestly, I think he just ran out of gas. I think he just mentally, physically, he just ran out. And it wasn't just him. I mean, let's just call it what it is. The LCS was brutal. That did not look like the Cubs
whole,
team
yeah,
that
the
we
whole
all love.
The offense ran out of gas. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like nobody really had it in them.
No, exactly. So I think it was a team-wide thing. I don't think it's something that's going to carry over. I think the fact that they didn't play into November is going to be huge. They're going to come in fresh, ready to go. There's no talk of let's win back-to-back titles. It's let's go out, let's handle our business, and let's get back to what we did in 2016.
I just don't know if I trust them to just rebound that quickly. I don't know. He was put in that fireman closer in the sixth inning. There's a runner on second and third. There's one out. You need to get two. And I get that he had a 3.4 ERA, but that's not exactly.
He came in at 2.98.
I mean, it's very good. But on a team like the Cubs, if you're expecting to make the NLCS again, you need to be great. You don't need to be very good. 298 out of the bullpen is pretty good.
So if you look at his splits last year and you break it down into save situations and non-save situations, in non-save situations, he made 41 appearances with an ERA of 1.27. So he was elite in those roles. But to your point, in save situations, he made 32 appearances, had an ERA north of 6, and his strikeout-to-walk ratio plummeted. So that's going to be the make-or-break with Edwards, is in tight situations with the game on the line, you have the ball. Can you pull it all together and hit your spots?
Yeah, I don't know. Taylor, what do you think?
I can't trust him to close out ball games. I don't trust him either. I would definitely take Morrow over him. Like, I don't think he's really ready to close out ball games, but I do agree with you in the sense that he's definitely, in my opinion, he's not going to Iowa. He's not going to AAA. He's going to be in a major league uniform, and I think he'll be an important part of the bullpen coming out as a reliever role for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Another story that's definitely cranking up the hot stove, not so much Cubs related, but reportedly the Texas Rangers and Arizona Diamondbacks are talking about Zach Greinke. And I bring this up obviously because Greinke is one of the best starters in the league. He definitely bounced back for Arizona, was a big reason why they made the playoffs last year. But I feel like every pitcher that the Cubs have been linked to at any point so far this winter has also been linked to the Rangers. So do you guys think, say this somehow gets pulled off, Greinke ends up in Texas, you would have to think that helps the Cubs' chances at bringing in Alex Cobb, right?
Well, I think, I also feel like, I mean, I don't know how serious people are in thinking that the Cubs are going to get Arrieta back, but it was obviously linked that the Rangers possibly were going to try to go for Arrieta, and that just makes me curious, would they still try to go for Arrieta? Probably not.
I don't think there's a chance Jake Arrieta comes back. If I had to give it to a percentage,
either.
5. He's gone. He's going to – I mean, with Tyler Chatwood getting – what did he get, like $13 million? With Tyler Chatwood getting $13 million, Jake Arrieta is probably going to get $20 million. It's going to be close to that. It's probably going to be 4 years, $75 million, just speculation.
I've been reading 6 years, $200 million-plus is what he's trying to get.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Scott Boras – he's a Scott Boras client. Of course he's trying to get over $200 million, but I also wouldn't expect Arrieta to sign within the calendar year. This is he's a Scott Boras client. This is going to be Prince Fielder circa, what was that, 2011, where he signs in March, or Max Scherzer, or one of those things. He's going to go to a team – like the Marlins maybe, or maybe the Rangers, if they don't pull off this Greinke trade, right before spring training goes down. And I mean, this Greinke development is really interesting, but I don't know how realistic it is.
So I did some reading on it right before we went on the air. And basically part of it will be swapping contracts. So the Rangers – to pull this off, basically, Texas needs Shin-Soo Choo to be involved in the deal just to help make the money side of things work. And obviously, if you're trading Choo to Arizona, you're going to need a big return in terms of young, controllable players. Again, this just broke within the last hour. You know, you never know during the winter meetings if these things pan out. But I did think it was interesting because, like you guys pointed out, Arrieta and Texas, there's a lot of connections there, just given that he lives down there. Supposedly the Rangers and the Astros both in on Arrieta. But I have to agree with you, Justin. Arrieta is probably my favorite player, and I would put his odds at returning at less than 5%. There's no way, especially with what Boris is asking for.
Yeah, I mean, it will be a bummer. It will be a bummer, but...
I'd have to agree. I'm going to be pretty sad, too.
Yeah, but, hey, you know, it's life.
So, moving on from that, because, like I said, it's hard to really dive into that without knowing, you know, the validity of it, you know, how it's gonna play out. I feel like... It's again, sticking with the pitching theme, I feel like this time of year, it is a must-have that you have to have Chris Archer to the Cubs rumors. At this point, I honestly just don't even care. I understand what he could bring to the table, but one, I'm not paying what Tampa Bay wants. I'm not including multiple pieces, including Hap, Schwarber, Baez, Russell. No, not a chance. But Is it just me, or is this like another December holiday that we can look forward to every year? You know, Chris Archer trade rumor.
It comes up every off season. I feel like
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate if Chris Archer was a Cub, and I know that people love him, but I got to see Schwarber go eventually. I get that he slimmed down, looking good. 25 pounds down, apparently, is what he said today. But, I mean, I don't know what you guys think. He is a textbook definition designated hitter. And he'll probably do great things as a designated hitter. But I tell you, he's the worst defensive outfielder. He looks like a catcher playing left field because that's what's going on. He can't continue to put him out with a glove. I don't know what you guys think, but I'm done with the Schwarber experiment.
I agree. Like, I feel like I'm just being really, I don't know, I don't want to get rid of the Cubs core, I guess, in the fact that I don't want to see him go, but I don't really want to see any of them go. But I do agree with you. I feel like he's the most obvious choice. If someone's going to go, I think it should be him. His numbers last year, batting average, obviously wasn't good. Got a little bit better after the All-Star break, but still not what Cubs fans wanted out of him. And, I mean, I think the Cubs could honestly get away this offseason with not getting rid of one of their core guys or a big piece. But if somebody's going to go, I think it has to be Schwarber, too, as much as I hate it.
Okay, just to play devil's advocate here. So obviously, Schwarber missed all of 2016, came back, played Superman in the World Series, had us all heading into 2017 thinking, this guy could win MVP. Obviously, didn't go that way. Halfway through the year, ends up in Iowa, comes back, bounces back, still hits 30 homers, average isn't there. The glove was pretty awful. But do you think it makes sense, and I'll start with you, Taylor, on this one. Do you think it makes sense to trade Kyle Schwarber this winter when you know what his potential is? You've seen what he can do, but he's coming off a terrible season. Do you think it's a bad idea to sell low on him?
No, that's like what I was saying. I honestly think the Cubs could get away with not really getting rid of any of their core. I kind of look at our trade pieces in like tiers. I consider him like honestly, like a tier three player, though. Like, he's along the same line as Almora to me. I don't feel like he has that much weight. Like, I don't really know how many teams are going to be going crazy over the fact of getting Schwarber right now. I feel like keeping him for another year, hopefully he has a better season, and maybe they can get something a lot better out of him next offseason.
All right, what about you, Justin?
Yeah. I mean, speak for yourself on the whole MVP thing. That stuck out to me. The man went 4-for-7. Let's not act like he's a world beater. He went 4-for-7, and yeah, nice, you know, gets the single in the 10th. Very nice. Yay, Cubs win the World Series. Okay? MVP? Not a chance. Not a chance. I mean, the guy was, what, the fourth? He had the fourth highest selling jersey in baseball at the start of this year. That's just blasphemous how that actually happened. We were talking about how the Cubs need an ace. Chris Archer is an ace. He's young. He's controllable. He's what everyone thinks of when you think of a nice young ace. If you can get him, I'm trading Schwarber, and I'm trading either Russell or Happ. I love Baez just for the entertainment factor, but I would be willing to part for him at the right cost. It just Chris Archer is an ace, and if you have to give up a couple very nice prospects who have been on the team for 2 years now, it's crazy to think that they're no longer prospects. But if you have to give those guys up, that you just have to do that. If you can get Chris Archer, I get that he doesn't have the perfect win-loss record, but if you look beyond the numbers, besides the fact that win is a fake stat, he's very, very good, and he is an ace.
You think that it's worth it to get rid of Schwarber and possibly Baez, Russell, just for him?
Yeah.
I don't agree. I don't think so.
I mean, what Schwarber plays left, Russell and Baez and Zobrist. Zobrist is going to fade out if he hasn't already. Okay. So you have three guys, Happ, Baez, and Russell, for two positions. And if you want to give Ian Happ more plate appearances, you want to give Baez and Russell more plate appearances, I'd be okay with parting with Russell just because, you know, he had a little bit of off-field issues at the beginning of the year. And also, 230 hitter. I mean, everyone talks about him like he's the second coming.
Yeah, but he's so young, and he has so much time left to still – I mean, I think he's already a pretty good shortstop, and he has so much more time to develop.
That's why he'd be a good trade commodity. I see your point, but I just also think
our farm system is pretty much completely wiped at this point. You start trading away all those guys who have experience, who have all pretty much have a World Series title under their belt as well. I mean, I don't know. I just think who are we left with just for one pitcher?
But here's the argument whenever people bring up the farm system element. The farm system is for teams who are bad, who are looking to get to the mountaintop. The Cubs are already there. You don't need a great farm system to stay at the mountaintop. The Cubs are eventually going to be very bad when all their stars get old, and then you rebuild then. But you don't – I wouldn't be focused on the prospect issue because you're there. You are in your championship window. You are in right in the middle of your window. So why not just push all your chips to the center? And we're talking about a guy who's hit 239 and had an on-base of 304. 304 is not going to win you any MVP awards anytime soon.
I get what you're saying. I just think all of these guys are so young. You don't really – I mean, like we said, they've obviously been on the team for 2 years, so they're not prospects anymore. But I feel like they're all still so young. Like, what if Addison Russell goes somewhere else and he's unreal all-star and Chris Archer doesn't turn out to be that good? Are people going to be regretting that then?
Oh, of course they will be. But that's hindsight's 20/20. But I don't – Schwarber, if he goes to an AL team, if he becomes a DH, he's hitting 45 homers at least a year. Okay? Because he'll forget about playing a position because he's just awful at pretty much every position out there. And Russell, he might be really great, but he could also flop still. He hasn't shown me enough. 12 homers last year, especially in 110 games with a little injury prone. I'm not fully convinced he's the superstar that everyone made him out to be.
I don't think he doesn't need to be a home run slugger or a hitter. I feel like the way the league's going, especially now, like you either have a team like the Yankees right now that are stacked with Judge and Stanton, who are two huge home run hitters. They're looking for them to crush the ball every time they're up to bat. Or you take an approach where you try to get people on and you help in the situation that's at hand at the plate. And I think that Russell's a good guy for those situations. He doesn't need to be hitting the ball out of the park every time that he's up there.
I get it. But I'm with my guy, Joe Sheehan, when he says, ball go far, team go far. He's not getting on base. He's not hitting the ball out of the ballpark. He's got a nice glove. But other than that, what have you done for me lately? I'm not saying he's not a great player. He's a very good player. He was an all-star last year. But if you can package him in a deal for Chris Archer, you gotta make that deal.
We might just have to agree to disagree on this one.
I think we just have to agree to disagree. I don't know. What would you? Here's a question: would you rather get rid of Russell or Baez?
I would rather get rid of Russell, but I think I would go solely based off the fact of his off the field issues that you mentioned. I just feel that'd be why I'd lean that way. And I really like Baez, like, a lot. He's just so fun to watch. So that's why I'd probably keep Baez.
I mean, Russell or Baez, it's Baez by a mile for me. And that's not just because he's one of the most entertaining players in baseball. Off the field issues, not hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And if I've learned anything from Moneyball, it's about getting on base, and he doesn't get on base. So if you can package him for an ace, I'm dealing him.
All right, guys. We've got
looking at the Twitter poll right now, Justin. I'm beating you 7-9. So.
Uh-oh. I can't vote for myself.
I think people want to keep Russell.
Yeah. Speaking of,
I can't vote for
Twitter.
Myself.
Speaking of Twitter, David Mignell, he actually used to write here at Cubby's Crib, had some opinions on your guys' discussion, definitely sided with Taylor, said that Russell, you know, he definitely said, you know, the off-the-field issues hurt him on the field, clearly, but did point out 125 hits, 95 runs batted in, 21 homers in 2016. So, you know, it was a tale of two seasons. The average was still a concern, but I will agree that if you're going to trade one of them, I think you have to trade Russell, simply because even after, what has it been, 3 years now with Javi, with the big league club, he's still definitely got the higher ceiling of the two. Like, it's not even a debatable.
Agreed.
Yeah. I agree,
all right,
too.
So I'm at 14%. There you go. Shout out to all the people voting for me. Right choice. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Now I'm going to check.
Sorry. I hate to break it to you, Justin. You just dropped down to 8%.
You're at 13%. So.
You just
dropped to 13%.
Well, at least we know what Justin and Taylor will be doing. They'll just be campaigning for your votes the rest of the night.
There you go.
So a little bit earlier this weekend, obviously the big news, two stories, Shohei Ohtani. We'll focus on that because it's related to Chicago more. I'm not surprised personally that he didn't go to the Cubs, but I was absolutely floored that he went to the Angels. Justin, what was your reaction when you saw that was his choice?
Floored is a little strong for me. Surprised, but – who was it? I think it was Ken that tweeted out West Coast and small market. Now, they fit both descriptions there. I get it that L.A. isn't exactly a small market, but they're L.A.'s second team. And I thought that Cubs fans were getting pretty ahead of themselves when they were thinking that Ohtani was going to come here. It would have been nice, but let's stop making him into Babe Ruth. And as Dan Bernstein from The Score said the other day, Babe Ruth wasn't even Babe Ruth. He stopped pitching after 5 years. I don't think it's possible to have a hitting pitcher at this level. Every single pitcher in baseball was the best athlete in their county, most likely. Unless they're like at one of these crazy high schools where, you know, they have like six athletes in one year. But all these pitchers were probably the best hitter on their team. And I get Japanese baseball, they say, is the equivalent to in between AA and AAA. But I wouldn't expect him to throw 101, have a 2.2 ERA, and have 35 bombs. I think he's we're getting a little ahead of ourselves on Ohtani talk.
Taylor, what about you?
All right. I mean, I agree with you. I wasn't really shocked whatsoever because, like you guys already said, I mean, West Coast, small market, obviously way closer to home for him too. I think I was more shocked that the Cubs even got as far as they did, still being in part of the conversation for as long as they were. But I didn't ever expect him to go to the Cubs. And I mean, I kind of think, honestly, like you were just saying, he's not Babe Ruth or anything like that. And I don't even think this even makes the Angels a contender, like, whatsoever. I feel like it's kind of good for baseball for, you know, a top player to go to a team that's not necessarily one of the World Series contenders, because I feel like that it's just a little more interesting for somebody else to, you know, snag a big player. But I don't even think this makes them really that notable. Yeah, they have Trout and they have him, but I mean, other than that, I don't know. I don't think it really does anything that great for the Angels. Besides, I think more people will probably be tuning into their games.
I couldn't agree with you more. The Angels aren't a contender with the best player in baseball on their team. They have,
no.
If he continues on this pace, a top five player in the game, in the history of the game. Okay. So let's not act like he's going to tear it up
on both sides. And they've won one
playoff
game since like 2009. So,
exactly.
Like, so like you just said, with the best player in the game, I mean.
Yeah. He's their number one starter now. And they have no other pitchers. It's ridiculous. And they have the dead weight contract of Albert Pujols, who I don't even know what they're going to do with. Are you going to pay him the $100 million left on his deal just to sit on the bench? Do you cut him? What do you do with him? But Garrett Richards was their number one before Ohtani came. Garrett Richards. I mean, let's not make the Angels into world beaters just yet. Will it be nice to watch some of their games with Ohtani? I'm definitely interested. However, they are definitely – they're not even a contender in their own division.
No.
Yeah, and on the Pujols front, they still have four more years of that contract. He is heading into his age 38 season. And they will be paying him $27, $28, $29, and $30 million respectively through his age 41 season. So
whoops.
Well,
yeah.
I'd be pretty satisfied with that.
Remember when Cubs fans like and David Kaplan were hoping that he'd sign with the Cubs about a year into their rebuild? Remember that movement? Yeah, looks pretty silly in hindsight.
Well, I think you just have to give the Cardinals credit where it was due. They let the face of their franchise walk out, and they knew what they were doing. They knew what that deal would look like in 10 years. And, I mean, obviously the last 2 years, it's been all Cubs. But they've had a very solid run since he left. But I did kind of want to spend the last 10 minutes or so here doing what we all love to do best, and that's talking about the Cardinals. Giancarlo Stanton flat out refused to go to St. Louis. You know, they missed on him. I feel like at this point, the moves they're making is just to catch the Cubs. And I understand that, but can they feasibly make enough moves in one off season to be on the same platform as the Cubs. I feel like, you know, Wainwright's getting older. They have some questions in that rotation. Yachty's not getting any younger, despite the extension they gave him last year. Do you see the Cardinals as the Cubs' biggest threat next year in the Central, or is that now Milwaukee? Taylor, we can start with you.
Was the question, are the Cubs still the biggest threat?
No, are the Cardinals the biggest threat to the Cubs?
Oh, I don't know. I was actually thinking about this. I honestly feel like things are a little even. Obviously, there have been some rumors, too, that Arrieta could go to the Brewers, but, I mean, they probably don't have the money for him. I don't know, though. I feel like it's pretty even-keeled between the Brewers and the Cardinals, but because of the rivalry that exists between the Cardinals and the Cubs, I'd probably still go with the Cardinals.
What about you, Justin?
I disagree. The Brewers, watch out for them. Let's keep in mind that up till the All-Star break of this year, they had, a four-game lead on the Cubs, and people were actually considering, and I lump myself into that, on whether or not they were the best team in the Central. I mean, they have guys like Lewis Brinson, and all their other young, controllable players. I mean, that's just the name of the game when it comes to baseball. Zach Davies as well. But, and I mean, Ryan Braun is still a beast. Like him or hate him, and you probably hate him if you're listening to this. I mean, Eric Thames had a really good year. Jimmy Nelson, Travis Shaw is a solid third baseman. Watch out for the Brewers. I think the Cardinals are aging. And keep in mind, they have the worst manager in baseball, too. So that doesn't help.
Yeah, I know that the one thing the Cubs do have going for them against Milwaukee is any game at Miller Park is essentially a home game for the Cubs. I know that maybe it's not a deciding factor, but I definitely believe it plays a difference there. Yeah, it absolutely does. It's so strange to drive up, you know, the 2 hours from here to Milwaukee, watch the Cubs play there, and, you know, Jason Hayward gets a single or Schwarber gets a knock, and the crowd goes crazy. It's so strange to see that. But Cubs fans definitely take over Miller Park anytime there's a game up there. But I definitely agree with you, Justin. They've got a lot of really nice young pieces. I think if they add somebody like Arrieta, that could put them over the top. But I still see Arrieta being more of a fit in terms of personality for a team like St. Louis. It just seems like that no BS old school approach that Jake's really known for, you know, that insane work ethic, very focused. He's very about his business. That seems to line up with the type of clubhouse Mike Matheny runs. Personally, I think it's why Dexter Fowler seemed so miserable in St. Louis. Obviously, I don't know if he was, but he didn't seem all that thrilled to be there. I know the Cardinals are reportedly listening on him already after just 1 year. It'll be interesting. I think the pecking order in the Central is kind of up for grabs. Obviously, the Pirates are pretty but definitely open to more thoughts. So I
have a few questions that people sent to my Instagram, and we were speaking about Jake Arrieta, so I thought this was a pretty good question. I don't want to butcher his name, but I think it's Aman Harmelio. Wants to know, do you guys think that Arrieta is worth the amount of money that he is trying to command in the free agent market?
I'll take that,
Justin.
One. I think that he's worth about $18 million a year. And that may sound crazy 5 years ago to have a pitcher who's probably going to be a two or a three down the road be worth $18 million. But with all the money baseball has, he's not that far off from what his actual value is. Is he asking for a lot? Yes, he's a Scott Boras client. That's part of the rules. However, he's not that far off, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's I mean, it's just the cost of doing business anymore. Top end starting pitchers, especially in a weak market. I mean, it's Darvish and Jake. Those are your two big dogs out there. Somebody's gonna pay him. I mean, that's all it comes down to. I think he'll get around $20 million a year from somebody. It won't be the Cubs.
Yeah, he's not coming back. He's not coming back.
No,
hate to break it to you.
Not to go completely off topic, but I got another good question that I'm curious to see what you guys think. But let me pull it up really quick here. What do you think the chances are that the Cubs make a splash at trying to sign Bryce Harper next year?
Oh,
what
you can take
what
that
are
to the
chances
bank.
That happen? Yeah, it's high.
Oh,
but let's not.
Oh, it's
let's not make him a Cub just yet.
See, that's why I think you save Schwarber and you wait and see if he has a great season this year, and he's an easy piece that you can get rid of. That I mean, maybe he'd be more likable to other teams to want to have if he has a better season this year. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Schwarber. Well, look at how the front office evaluates Kyle Schwarber. If say he comes out, drops 30 and 100 this year, figures it out. I'm not saying he will, but just for hypothetical reasons, you could, in theory, keep him if he proves he can play defense and, you know, thinning down and getting lean helps that much. You could keep him in left, move Hayward to center, package some combination of Happ and Almora and move him. So there are so many different weapons, and that's why I would love to see the Cubs hold on to their depth as long as they can, because if these guys prove themselves, the asking price is going to go through the roof, and that you can mix and match so many different ways to get what you need in 2019 and 2020.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we answered the question, but
yeah.
I don't know if we did either. I guess the question was, what are the chances do you guys think of the Cubs making a splash and signing Harper?
I'd give it, I'd say 30-70. I'd pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, the Yankees are out of it, of the stand deal, but I mean,
you think so?
I
don't think they necessarily are.
Oh, come on. Really? They have Stanton, Judge, and center fielder. Insert center fielder.
Yeah, but
they
like
don't need Harper, too.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, look at the Yankees. Look at the amount of money they spend over the years. They're always trying to go for a title. Like, why not put another all-star on our team?
Yeah, but that's ridiculous. You have
I mean, it
two
is.
Positions
I'm just saying,
in
I don't
your
think I
outfield
count them
plus
out.
$1 billion. I mean, two outfielders that cost $1 billion? I get the Yankees have money. I don't know if they have that much money. Can Harper even play center on a consistent basis? He's more of a corner outfield kind of guy, too.
Yeah, I don't think you can rule out the Yankees because they're the Yankees, but I think that their odds dropped precipitously with the Stanton move. Guys, we've only got about 60 seconds left here. We'll be doing this obviously every week. Some combination of myself, Taylor, and Justin will be here. Hopefully all three of us, but life happens. We've all got a lot going on. In the meantime, I definitely encourage you guys to follow Taylor, Justin, and our official handle at Cubby's Crib on Twitter. I know Taylor's very active on Instagram as well. We will be back same time next week, hopefully talking about the Cubs finishing the winter meetings with a bang and adding at least one more arm. So thank you guys for taking the time, and we'll
All right, it was fun.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.